Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned for you today. We're going to be resuming with our Renew Life RX show. Sorry, looking at all the – yes, you know, Tuesday we had the server crash, and we did a show with Evelyn Koser, and we had no music. We had no commercials. Probably people like that. But anyway – we got everything back up and running, and I'm just checking levels to make sure that I have everything turned on the way it's supposed to be. Why waste any more time? Let's go ahead and bring my co-host on, and that is...
The first step to changing your life starts with the Renew Life Show with Adam Lamb.
How you doing, Adam?
I'm doing great. How are you, Carl?
I'm doing good. Everything's working. I'm looking at levels. Everything looks like it's working perfectly. This is wonderful. Technology.
Sounds good. You look good.
Thank you. I've actually had a technology bump for the past 3 weeks. First, my laptop went out, the touchpad mouse. Then my I shattered my iPhone and hadn't synced it in like forever. And so I got a new iPhone, but then I had to repair the old one so that I could sync it. And you've had that happen.
So this sounds silly, but I have a second phone that does nothing, but it's mirrored to my other phone so that if this phone breaks, I can call Verizon switch the
SIM number
over, because that's how much I rely on this phone.
I know. I'm such an idiot. I've paid for an iCloud account, but I've never backed my phone up to it. And the guy's like, dude, you're paying for iCloud. You could have just had this backup like once a day or once a week or whatever. And so he turned it on, and it's like now it's constantly backing up, I guess. And so
mine does. But you know, it's a lesson. Like I think just in anything in life, that sometimes we need a couple hurdles to trip over to make the changes so we can roll smoothly in whatever it might be.
I've also been told by people who watch the Facebook Live shows that I should look at the camera when I'm talking, but I'm looking at the monitor so I can look at you while you're talking. So I'm always
looking at you when you talk.
See, my camera is separate of my screen, so it's up here. And and really, if it was like right in front of me, I'd be looking like this. But I got to set it up a little differently. But that's okay.
Yeah, I think you're doing.
We have a couple really good things to talk about today. I think that they're very, important, and they're kind of overlooked. And one of them is really important, because if you have allergies, you are more likely to have other diseases later on in life. Especially
or just
if you,
even a, good, functioning at a lower level due to your immune system just constantly being taxed.
And I've talked about this on the show over the years. The analogy I've given is, you know, if your army is deployed all the time, it becomes less and less effective.
It's a great analogy.
And the army of your body is your immune system, and the soldiers are inflammation. And so if you're constantly deploying inflammation for the wrong reasons, your body's always inflamed, you actually become weaker and weaker and weaker. So what made you interested in the whole allergy discussion?
Yeah, and I think to take your analogy first a step further is if you think of like, if you can visualize like a battle of you have the good guys and the bad guys intertwined on a field, but you're expecting someone from above to drop a bomb or something, it doesn't really know who to get either. Right. And so sometimes that inflammation is going on and you're trying to treat the problem, but you really don't know who's the problem. Right. And so sometimes you have to take some steps to separate the two to know, oh, this is the problem. Right. And to address it. And so, and that's, you know, some of the ways we look at, even from a hormone standpoint, is this indicator might be wrong or this indicator might be wrong, but it could actually be, this is the reason why they're wrong. So you could treat these or you treat this and then these go away. Right. And so with the allergy thing, so, you know, I was born and raised in Michigan, grew up there my entire life, moved to Texas about a year and a half ago. And so with a new environment, there's a new environment. Right. And so there's new exposure to new things, new trees, new pollen, new all that kind of stuff. And I just kind of had some, you know, ups and down issues where I'm never sick, but just sometimes running subpar. And I know I have a shrimp allergy, like super serious shrimp allergy. But I was also curious. I'm scared to eat other things, like down here in, where I'm at in the Houston area. It's big to do crawfish boils. They do like huge parties, dump them all over the table. But I'm always scared to partake because the last thing I want to do is end up in the hospital or, you know, hit myself with an EpiPen. And so I decided to go in and just get full updated allergy testing done. I did the skin testing yesterday. I did the blood work a couple of weeks ago, which all the results still aren't back, which is unbelievable. But we did pretty some extensive stuff. And so that's why I wanted to look into it and see, like, where am I at? Is there something that could be affecting, you know, maybe I'm operating on a scale of 1 to 10. Maybe I'm operating at a 7 and I could be at a 9 because my soldiers, like you said, are always deployed. Right. And so we wanted to go through that process and see. And there's crazy thing, and I think this would surprise a lot of people, is there stuff just to share off the top that, you know, I have a gluten allergy, which I had a pretty good idea to. You know, I'm at 12.5. So over 2 is high and I'm at 12.5, but I eat gluten. You know what I mean? Here's a crazy one is cashews. I scored 6.5, which is high. Anything over 2 is high. I eat cashews almost every day.
So do I. So I put them in my oatmeal. I put them in my oatmeal in the morning. Yeah.
I love it. I don't eat peanuts, but I eat cashews. And then tomatoes. I eat salsa, tomatoes. I'm at 14.
So you're like Tom Brady. Tom Brady was diagnosed with issues related to.
I feel like Tom Brady.
he was diagnosed with issues related to nightshade. So you really can't eat tomatoes, peppers, or eggplant.
Yep. Right. And so the rest of those things like that you listed are not all in yet. But it was surprising because I'm thinking, like, I eat tomato-based something often. I love ketchup or whatever it might be, you know. And so going through some of that stuff, cats, which I knew, I love my cat, but I knew some of these different things that going through just to see that every day how I'm exposing myself to stuff that I'm constantly having to deploy those soldiers. I think that's a great analogy for people to visualize what's going on. And to the point, like the shrimp, I knew scored high. Lobster was kind of a low high. And then the crayfish was almost up there with shrimp. So, I mean, if I put a shrimp in my hand will swell up.
Yeah.
I get hives. So I'm just thinking, thank God I didn't try to eat crawfish.
So here's an interesting correlation that I learned a long time ago. People who are allergic to shellfish if they ignore their allergy and they eat the stuff anyway, they end up with gallbladder problems.
That's interesting.
Interesting. But it's like later on in life. And that's why I said before, if you have immune issues and you go, oh, you know, I can live with the whatever for a little while because I love eating that stuff. You will end up developing diseases later on in life related to the immune system overreacting and actually destroying tissue in different organ systems. And I think that's the linkage between people who have shellfish allergies almost always develop gallbladder problems. And so for some reason, the tissue in the gallbladder must look like the cells of the shellfish. And so while the immune system is, as you point out, dropping the bomb on the bad guys, but the good guys are in play too. So that's getting killed as well. And that really is an accurate display as you put forth there. Like, you know, the bomb can't determine just kill the bad stuff when the bad stuff and the good stuff look the same.
Well, and even right. And to that point, you know, like crab, I was fine and I ate a little bit of crab, but I know that one time when I was in Florida and we had a restaurant that had a king crab special. And I was like, man, I'm just getting the whole king crab order. The next day I couldn't get out of bed. Now, I don't know if there's some cross contamination with shrimp or steamed or maybe lobster was steamed in that same kind of bin or whatever. but I felt like I had the flu the next day after eating that whole order of crab. So crab, I was fine. Shrimp, bad news. I mean, I have an EpiPen for shrimp specifically.
Just in case, yeah.
Yep. Lobster was like medium bad news. Clam, fine. Crayfish, pretty bad news. Scallop, no problem. I won't eat any. I haven't eaten any of those other than I'll eat a little bit of crab just for fear of that. But even to your point of even if there's maybe a little bit that, and it's not doesn't bother me, it may be a little stomach discomfort, but maybe long term it's creating a gallbladder shit. So I think, geez, those cashews, I eat handfuls of those things. I love them.
Well, you'll know if you're starting to develop gallbladder issues because you'll have, like when you eat fatty foods, you'll feel horrible. It doesn't go through you fast. You feel sick. I mean, that's a sign of your gallbladder is starting to bottom out. Kirkland Warletti has a great question. He says, just out of curiosity, is the nightshade issue potentially connected to lectins? Perhaps pressure cooking could help. That's a really interesting analysis. I don't know if it's – so nightshades are considered poisonous. There are some poisonous nightshades that in small quantity – they used to use them back in the days of you hear about nightshades if you read anything by Shakespeare. That was the poison of choice back in the day. It was nightshades. Huh. They would kill you with. But there's poisonous nightshades. But the other nightshades just – you know, the dose makes the poison. They just don't have the concentration of whatever it is that's poisonous. Now, is it lectins? I don't know the answer to that, Kirkland. But I'll also tell you something else. Gluten causes an inflammatory, a pro-inflammatory response in everybody across the board. Mm-hmm. We see inflammation go up in people who eat gluten, whether they say I'm gluten intolerant or not. Man, I can eat pasta every day. It doesn't bother me. We see inflammatory markers go up after a load of bread or pasta or grain-based stuff. I think the people who are gluten intolerant have leaky guts, so more of it is not being broken down and carried out through the alimentary canal. More of it is getting directly into the bloodstream through the gut. And this has been my theory, and my theory is based on the fact that most gluten-containing products have been sprayed with glyphosate. People go, oh, here we go with glyphosate. But look, you can't ignore glyphosate because it is a, it's an antibiotic. It's a very weak antibiotic. But just like poison, it's in the dose. If you get a lot more glyphosate in your diet, it's like you're taking a low-dose antibiotic every single day. And we know what that does to cows. We know what that does to pigs. So it does it to us, too. It destroys the lining of the stomach over time. And so I think that the problem that some people have who go, I'm not gluten intolerant, I can eat it all. No, you're still deploying the immune system, but the immune system is strong enough to keep it under check. When you have the lining of the stomach has been eroded over time and it's going directly into the bloodstream, now you're the person who has all these problems. That's my theory.
No, I think that your theory is probably correct. I know that with leaky gut, it's until you make those changes, you don't see the change. But I think when, you know, even when I was in my competitor diet, competition days, I was eating clean. I mean, I was eating like five different things, right? And so I was eating so clean and I felt so good because I didn't have all these different things in my diet that may be causing inflammation. And, you know, on the gluten marker too. So that's, you know, that's greater than two is an issue. And I'm at 12.5. And blood work I had actually done in the summer trying to chase down that autoimmune issue we talked about. I was high, middle, not crazy high, but definitely on the above normal. And then this gluten, you know, backs it up that I should be eating gluten free.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And the truth is, you know, just like Tom Brady has chosen this diet so that he could play longer and make fun of him all you want. A lot of people like to hate on the guy because he is the oldest NFL quarterback in history and he's still winning.
I didn't even know that. I don't follow sports. I love Tom Brady.
Yeah, no, neither do I. I don't know anything about him except he literally lives our lifestyle. Wow. He eats an ancestral diet that doesn't aggravate any type of allergies. He gets to sleep at the same time. He protects his sleep. He doesn't lift heavy weights, but he does a lot of stretching and a lot of body weight stuff.
I'm actually going to start what's the stretching? I can't think. Just left my brain. Not yoga. Pilates.
Pilates.
I'm gonna do a Pilates lessons next week. Maybe I'll give you. We'll do some feedback on my first Pilates lesson. I'm a pretty flexible guy, but I believe in the stretching is way more important than the weightlifting.
It may actually be, especially as we age. So talk to me about what testing you actually did. Did you do the prick test where they punch?
So I did. So I have like here's some the blood work that I had done, and then I actually did here's the prick testing, all of this stuff. So. Out of 20, I was tested positive for 27 out of 38 things. And there's some different, you know, they measure. So you're graded on this scale of, I have like, for example, Virginia Oak, I had a 13, which is like pretty high. So you're rated. So it was like 6, 3 or negative. There's a four in here. But things like cottonwood, I mean, just about everything from the tree weed standpoint, there's quite a bit that in this area, right? So I'm not used to this area. I live in this area for a short amount of time. But going into like dog negative, horse a little bit, mouse a little bit, mixed feathers, no, which is good. So my down coat's not going to bother me.
Right, and down comforter or pillow that you sleep in for 8 hours, yep.
Yeah, can you imagine that, right? Yeah. If you had allergy to that, and that's your environment, right? And so and you and I talk a lot about how environmental things can affect endocrine issues because, that's kind of in the wheelhouse of what we treat, but also just overall immune system, right? Like these. So for me, I've been kind of hell-bent on flipping over every stone health-wise just to find out, because at the end of the day, as on air or off air, that my passion is to help people everywhere I can. Right. And come up with it, something that, hey, maybe you're allergic to, like you're bedding that you're in every day and that's what's hurting you every day. Right. And you change that, now you change your life and now everything's better. Like, just through my experience, I'm hoping to discover some of these things. But like grasses, and it's got mites. So like mites was on the high side. Cockroaches, which I knew, I tested when I was younger.
Oh, damn. That means that when they come up with that new cockroach protein, you can't eat it.
Right. What's so funny is my father-in-law, he has like these rubber cockroaches. And when we go visit him in Florida, every time he'll like put one like underneath my plate or like in a sandwich. Like he just thinks it's the funniest thing in the world. Because he thought I was full of crap when I said that I was allergic to cockroaches. He's like, well, no one eats cockroaches. But you don't realize that, the dust breaks down, especially like cities, old city walls.
If you eat at restaurants, you may have eaten a cockroach or two in your life. Let's be honest.
For sure. For sure. Unfortunately, it happens. And what was cool, too, that the mold mix one and mold mix two, I was negative. And that was kind of reassuring because I don't know why, but I've had this fear of mold that, mold could be, mold could cause some serious problems. The blood mold didn't come back yet. But so this was all the prick test. So what they did is, they went through my forearm, and I had to do – so I couldn't do my testosterone cream for a few days. They want to keep that area, steroid-free, essentially. I had to stay away from any anti-inflammatories. I mean, the list – it was no coffee the morning of. Obviously, I fasted. I do that anyway in the morning. And so they start with, like, a control shot to make sure the antihistamine works. And then from there, they do –
How long do they wait? How long do they wait after they give you the provoking shot to see if histamine kicks in?
Five or 10 minutes.
That fast, yeah.
Yeah, right in that range. The whole process was about an hour and a half, and so then they go on my forearms, and I posted some stuff on my. It's probably not there now, but on my Instagram and Facebook, you could see where they pricked the different spots, and they're numbered and everything, so they know how it transpires onto the form to see, and then they come through and they measure with this thing about how big the diameter of the irritation gets to judge how, and then the things that don't respond, what they did after that is then they took little like insulin sized needles, tiny dose, and I got 27 shots here on my shoulder where they just go boop, 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 and they just go up and down this row to see if anything else comes back, and then that's kind of like the, if nothing comes from that actually going underneath the skin, then you're negative for it.
I would love to walk in there and like bring a bill from a utility with me and have them go, oh, you're allergic to utility bills, and so then I have my insurance company pay my utility bills for me.
Well, I joked with the lady, my wife is a great cook, but I was going to try to give her a hard time and say something like, oh, honey, they said I'm allergic to your lasagna.
Yeah.
Lasagna's on your number 43, but I'm allergic to tomatoes, so I don't know if I can have a lasagna anymore unless she switches the sauce.
And you know what? I believe that I have a sensitivity to tomato, but you have to understand. I mean, I've grown up eating tomato sauce my whole life. So is it something I've acquired because my gut has changed? There was a study published this week that linked the lack of certain microbes in the gut correlate exactly to depression. Now, while we can't say that if you have those microbes in your gut, you can get rid of your depression, but what they did was they looked at people in a fairly large group, significant group, who were depressed, and they compared them to people who weren't depressed, and they looked at the microbiome diversity in their guts, and what they found out was absolutely every single time the people who were depressed did not have the presence of these two microbes that the people who weren't depressed did have. And so now The argument then becomes, well, is what's causing the depression also causing the lack of this microbe in its presence, or vice versa? And that's an entirely different subject. But the reality is that when you start to look at how the gut functions and you start to compare it to disease states, it becomes very, very obvious to me, like gluten, that certain things like nightshades probably cause a inflammatory response in people, but it's tolerable because it's almost more of a hermetic. It actually stimulates an immune response, but not overstimulates. But the people who have leaky guts, they probably also have not only gluten intolerances, but I'll bet nightshade intolerances, because the larger amount of what is considered the poisonous part of it is getting into the bloodstream.
I agree with that. And I think, you know, there's a book I read. I was looking it up just now. It's called The Wisdom of Your Cells. Because if we forget this stuff, but if you think for 1 minute there isn't this constant communication going on in your body, you're forgetting, right? Like, you're missing the point. And even, you know, my thoughts on alcohol and but food or just gut and the microbes and those kind of things, that if that stuff's off and missing, it's going to create all kinds of chemical reactions. You know, even with hormones, sure, performance, libido, those things, but the psychological parts of confidence and conviction and your tone and voice, like all those kind of things all come together. You know, your body's this amazing synergistic thing, right? And when you respect it that way, and that's why I'm on this search to obviously bring more information and thoughts to others, but really researching all those things and all the, to the cellular level, you know, like that's where we end up finding out the incredible stuff.
We have a question from Diego Paparella that we're going to answer on the outside of the break. It's a really interesting question about quercetin. I've been looking into quercetin more and more because it's being used right now in a variety of anti-aging studies. Mm. And apparently it may have the ability to reduce histamine, which would be a big deal for people who have allergies. Let's do this. Let's take one quick commercial break. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Renew Life RX Show with Adam Lamb. We'll be right back. Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out, or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000, or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to RedconOne.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number one.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today.
Men and women, you've heard about hormone optimization. Do you feel like it's something you want to look into? RenewLifeRx.com is the place to start. Their doctors can help you with the solutions. RenewLifeRx.com has a simple process for lab work, consultation, and taking a deep dive into where your hormone levels can be improved. Superhuman Radio listeners get 30% off your initial lab work and consultation. Go to RenewLifeRx.com to schedule your no-obligation phone consultation today. Feel younger, get in better shape, and be more productive at RenewLifeRx.com.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Are you looking for a better way to absorb the nutrients you know you need? Do what I do and start your day with lipospheric supplements from Livon Labs. Unlike pills and powders, Livon's patented liposomal encapsulation technology transports nutrients like vitamin C, vitamin B, glutathione, acetyl-L-carnitine, and alpha-lipoic acid to where they need to be, your cells. Visit try.liveonlabs.com/Carl to learn why I take these supplements every day to help me perform in the gym and in life. That's try.liveonlabs.com/Carl.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back to the Renew Life RX show with Adam Lamb and myself, Carl Lenore. So Diego Paparella asked an interesting question, and the reason I find it interesting is that we're seeing more and more information about quercetin, or quercetin, however you want to pronounce it, in anti-aging research, a show that we did recently about dasatinib, which is a chemo drug, and quercetin being given one day a week at a fairly low dose for the dasatinib and a high dose for quercetin, actually rid the body of senescent cells. And we now know that senescent cells are the reason we develop the hallmarks of aging. We slow down, our brains stop functioning properly, all this sort. But it's basically metabolic waste is what they are. They don't die and get carried off. They become zombie cells, and they spit out horrible stuff that poisons the cells around them.
Inflammation, right? Creates inflammation.
No, it's not inflammation. It's different. It's producing toxic chemicals that actually poison the other cells around it and make them act like senescent cells too. It's kind of like that old, you know, if you have a bad apple in a bundle of apples, that starts to make the other apples close to it go bad. It gives off gases and stuff like that. In this case, the cells are giving off chemicals. But so Diego says, has anyone looked into high doses of quercetin for reducing histamine reactions to all allergens? So I have been experimenting with quercetin, but not in high doses. And
what's a high dose? I don't know anything about it. I actually Googled it.
I think a gram and a half is considered dangerous. Some websites say that too much is no good for the kidneys. You find quercetin in green apple skins, and I think that's where they get the stuff I'm buying from, bulksupplements.com, because it actually tastes to me buttery like apples. You know, there are other things out there, MSM, things that have a sulfur base, glutathione, GSH, glutathione sulfur, sulfur hydroxide, I think it stands for. But it has things that have a sulfur base seem to also aid in an immune response and thus ridding you the reaction to certain allergens. Have you heard anything about anything else out there?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I mean, this is, I'm like actually super intrigued. My brain shifted to, right, to this part of it. No, I don't. You know, like I'm a guy who's, I've discounted this allergy stuff to the point of like, yeah, I feel a little, you know, maybe I'll take a Zyrtec, right? And this is why, you know, we're talking about this today, is because it's a topic where, and just like Diego brings up, is there may be some relief out there through some supplements that we're not thinking about, or, you know, generally speaking, like, this is super interesting.
See, he says another one that has helped me reduce histamine is L-theanine, which you can find L-theanine in chocolate and certain teas. I get a stuffy nose before going to bed, and when I do L-theanine, my nose clears up within an hour. Dude, I get a stuffy nose when going to bed too, and I'm going to tell you where it's from. When you look at some of the research,
I have also,
what's that?
I've had a stuffy nose like recently.
Okay.
And that's what partially led to this allergy stuff.
Let me tell you where that comes from, okay? So cortisol is the natural hydrocortisone of the body. Your body produces cortisol to reduce inflammatory response. But most of us use some sort of stimulants, coffee in the morning and so on. And so cortisol kind of gets whacked out, where we actually turn up the volume in the morning. And at night, we should have some cortisol, but we don't. And whatever we turned up the volume with, pre-workouts, coffee, a couple glasses of tea, cortisol bottoms out at night. And so you see, cortisol keeps allergic responses at bay. And I really have a strong belief about People who have allergies may need to also stop using anything that stimulates cortisol production during the day so that that diurnal pulse of cortisol can normalize, because you shouldn't get your nose all stuffed up at night. You should have enough cortisol in circulation that would suppress that type of allergic reaction. So cortisol is a very, very interesting player in the allergy discussion, because an EpiPen is epinephrine, right? Okay, that actually stimulates a cortisol response, a huge cortisol response. When you take epinephrine, and your heart starts pumping. Well, and, yes.
Right?
Well,
yeah.
But that's what the adrenals make cortisol.
Right.
So it stimulates a huge cortisol response. And cortisol is our body's natural form of cortisone. When you have allergies, they give you hydrocortisone, right? You have swelling because you touch poison ivy. They give you hydrocortisone. The swelling goes down in a day. Mm-hmm. So there's a link between cortisol.
What's interesting about it is, so I've been also, I usually watch TV before I fall asleep, which is, I don't think is good. And so I've switched, I got this meditation app, and my wife and I are doing it. I turn it on at night. And so it's really focusing on breathing and, you know, like this relaxing and all this lights out thing, which is different than what we usually do. But I find I'm sitting here focused on my breathing. And all of a sudden I'm like stuffy, and I'm like, I wasn't stuffy. You know what I'm thinking? Like, do I need water? Like, what is it? But it's interesting. And it almost makes me think, what's if the relaxing, lowering those cortisol levels is bringing up the allergens, right? I mean, it makes sense with what you said.
And see, the other thing is, I did a show about 8 years ago with a doctor who came on that showed that people who have constantly elevated cortisol actually end up developing a form of heart failure. And here's why. Because cortisol plays a strong role in glucose entry into muscle cells. Cortisol also stimulates the calcium channel response that we have in muscle cells. And so what happens is, it's like going to a concert and sitting right up next to the speakers. Right? When you were in your car driving to the concert, you're having conversations with your buddies like this, normal decibels. But after the concert blows your ears out and the new norm becomes up here in decibels, when you're in the car, you can't even hear people talking if they talk normal. You got, I can't hear you. Can you talk louder? So when cortisol levels are always elevated, which can easily happen in society, you're stressed out about your job.
Yeah.
You're stressed out about what's going on in Iran. You're stressed out about what's you're always stressed out. Cortisol is always high. And there's actually a form of heart failure that's related to excessively high cortisol levels. So why wouldn't your nose be affected by excessively high cortisol levels?
It ties to, like, with I'm going to do a sleep study. There'll be another thing we'll talk about. But with sleep apnea, because, you know, when you're falling asleep, you stop breathing. Your body has that fight or flight, panic, sugar release, all those kind of
cortisol
things.
Cortisol goes up in the middle of the night.
Yep. Right. Multiple times too. Right. And so I think that that also ties together, and that makes perfect sense as well. And I think that the biggest takeaway is to try to be more relaxed. Right. But it's hard if you don't focus on it.
So Diego says L-theanine reduces cortisol. Well, maybe it helps to normalize the cortisol sensitivity. There may be another aspect to it. So but definitely there is a cortisol correlation in allergic responses. There's no doubt in my mind. I find that people who are chronically stressed, who consume lots of coffee to get through the day, they tend to complain about allergies more. And that's because that whole cortisol inflammatory response is just overdriven constantly for them.
I know that I've cut my caffeine back considerably. I still do two cups of coffee and it's like motor oil black in the morning. I've even cut back on the pre-workout. You know, I started doing too, I think we talked about this, low dose Tadalafil for pre-workout instead of taking a pre-workout, which, and it's phenomenal, but that's something we can talk about even maybe for another show. But I've been doing that, and I've noticed I just feel better. But there's times where I, you know, coffee later in the day or some tea, and like, and then it where does it stop? You know,
I've gone to just drinking chai tea. I have a cup of chai tea in the morning now, which probably is 18 to 50 milligrams of caffeine as compared to what I used. I mean, everybody who's listened to the show for a number of years knows that I was doing 1,000 milligrams a day of caffeine anhydrous most days in pill form and drinking coffee.
All right.
My allergies have gotten dramatically better since I got off the coffee. And the caffeine, the excessive caffeine, dramatically better. But I just had another thought Diego, and I know he's responding, and I really appreciate his interaction here. When I'm stressed out, I get much more allergic responses. I just had a thought. So along with the diurnal production of cortisol, there is usually an adjustment of sensitivity. We know this in insulin. We know that insulin sensitivity changes at night than in the daytime because it's preparing. So it's very possible that when we drop cortisol late in the evening, the sensitivity adjusts to the level. And that's why your nose. So I got a funny feeling about this. I know that light. I wrote an article for a bodybuilding magazine 13 years ago. Is Thomas Edison stealing your gains? And I showed that if you stay up late at night, androgen receptors are less sensitive the next day. So it's not just the pure levels of these hormones in the bloodstream. It's also the affinity and sensitivity of the receptor that they interact with that is also adjusted, not just the levels, but the sensitivity. And so it could be that L-theanine is reducing not only cortisol, but improving the receptor sensitivity to cortisol at the same time.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Could be. Yeah. So let's talk more about the allergy. So have you adjusted your diet so far from your allergy reports?
I haven't. I have been just even recently since the autoimmune, I've cut the gluten out and I've noticed a difference.
How long has it been since you've cut it out?
I'm not consistent and I need to. I'm pretty bad about that in the sense of sometimes I do good and, you know, I go back. But I know that if I, like the other night, my wife made a great dinner and she made lasagna and she also made an apple pie. We had actually her boss was over for dinner with the family and we ate that. But I noticed after I had that lasagna and apple pie, I felt like crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm thinking tomato, gluten, like it was. Just,
oh, dude, that was like the atomic bomb of immune system.
Because usually, I mean, my favorite thing to eat is steak or sushi, and if I stick to steak or sushi, I feel really good.
And when I eat sashimi, I can eat 2 pounds of salmon. I don't even feel it in my gut. I don't feel it.
Actually, I have like better energy. It's great. There's a place by me. It's a pretty nice place. They have all you can eat sushi. And it's not like you picture. It's a nice place.
Right.
And it's like $30. But, you know, and all these bodybuilder guys are always in there eating just, I mean, loads of sashimi.
I'd be in there, too. They'd have to chase me out.
Yeah. They have like a list of rules. It's super funny. But, yeah, when I try to eat, like, for lunch later, I'm going to go and eat sashimi, right? Yeah. I'll just do sashimi. I like a little spicy ponzu sauce, which actually isn't a tomato base, which is – keeps me out of that tomato allergy, and it makes sense, right? It all makes sense.
Have you ever had hamachi kama? You know what that is?
No.
Order it today when you go.
Hamachi kama?
It's not on the menu. Just trust me. Yeah, hamachi kama. It's the I guess for lack of better terms, it's the clavicle of the salmon. Is hamachi salmon?
No, hamachi's tuna.
It's tuna.
Yeah, yellow
tuna. Yeah. It's the clavicle of the tuna. And they cook it.
Yeah, hamachi's my favorite. That's
okay.
Usually what I
ask for hamachi. Now, it's hot. It's served hot. They usually sprinkle some sesame seeds on it. And it comes with a hoisin-type dipping sauce. You could use that or not. It is like the filet mignon of tuna. You'll never go to sushi bar again. And I was in Los Angeles in the mid-80s, and I went to a place called Tommy Tang's, which was like where all the movie stars went for sushi. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting at the bar one day, and he was working he was the chef that night. And he asked me, have you ever had hamachi kama? And I was like, no, what is it? He made it for me. Now and they never have it on the menu. You'll never see it on the menu. Yeah, but when you ask for it, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, hold on. They go in the back, and they get it out. They put it in the oven. They have that little toaster oven behind the bar.
Yeah, the sushi place I go to is pretty top notch. They have some really cool, unique dishes too, outside of just the sushi that we get sometimes. We do they have a steak, it's a wagyu tartar. Even my son gets it. He's spoiled, obviously, but where you cook it on this little hot stone, and you know, like you flip the little thin slices, and It's pretty awesome.
Diego's got some great questions. So we got to put this one. I wonder why people who go on the pure carnivore diet completely get rid of allergens. Well, you just have to read Dr. Grundy's book, The Plant Paradox, to understand that. But in simple terms, from an evolutionary perspective, animals have legs they can run, they have claws and they have teeth they can fight, but plants don't have those. So plants had to create defense mechanisms, and these defense mechanisms are anti-nutrients. Anti-nutrients are designed to poison the species of animals that prey upon them so that they don't get wiped off the planet. And this is my argument about soy. Everybody thinks soy is great. Soy has phytoestrogens in it because animals who eat soy stop having sex and they have stopped having babies.
I won't let my son have soy, eat soy. Soy is bad.
It's horrible. And
I think that it's the number one reason our young boys and young men are not maximizing puberty, where they should be hitting 1,500, 1,800 testosterone at a young age. They're hitting 7 or 8. So by the time they're 30, they're 250 and they feel like,
well, I'm going to throw something else into this discussion in a second that I'm probably going to get flamed for, but I want to finish answering his question. Animal muscle, that it doesn't have any of the anti-nutrients in it that we see in plants. So this whole idea that fruits and vegetables are good for us is arguable. And if you read Dr. Grundy's book, you'll go, oh, my God, like there's a handful of things that you can eat that aren't going to hurt you. The rest of them hurt you in some way, shape or form.
You know, Chris Bell is a friend of mine, the guy that's got the bigger, faster, stronger. And he's on a carnivore diet. And him and I, and he said he feels the best he's ever felt on this diet. You know, we talk about it in lengths, and he's kind of almost pushed me. I'm still like hesitant, right? Like because you're conditioned to believe a certain thing. Like I need to have some veggies. I need to have some greens, but I function better on a carnivore style diet, which I eat primarily chicken, steak, eggs, you know, fish, sushi.
That's it. Now I basically instinctively eat a carnivore diet with the inclusion of cheese. I do eat cheese. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that.
But no salads. You stay away from the veggies, broccoli.
Elisa makes me eat salad. You know, she'll be like, oh, come on, you have to eat some salad. So but salad is fairly innocuous as compared to some of the other things like eggplant and stuff like that. But I do eat a more carnivore style diet instinctively. It's just the way I like to eat. But the reason that all of these diets work is not because of what you're eating. It's what you've stopped eating. Mm-hmm. It's what you take out of the diet that has the greatest impact on health than what you've added into the diet. We see this even with people who go true vegan. Like for the first 5 or 6 months, they feel great because they stopped eating Hot Pockets and pizza and crap. And they're eating plants now. Now, the difference with vegans is after a while, they always hit the wall. All of them hit the wall. All of them realize this is not working for me at some point in time. But the reality is that the carnivore diet is successful not because you're eating meat, but because you're not eating a bunch of crap that you used to eat.
Right.
There's
no gluten in it or in that either, right?
There's no lectins. There's no gluten. There's no anti-nutrients. Right. There's no seeds. There's nothing that we know now from Dr. Grundy's research actually harms the body. I want to say one other thing here. And I've talked about this tangentially on other shows, but I want to talk about it here because it's a very important discussion since we're talking about allergies and diet. And you said soy, you know, young boys, puberty. Soy is even more offensive than that. And I'm going to tell you why. When a mother is pregnant, the genitalia form in the first trimester. The brain completes all of its connections in the third trimester. So you get your genitals in the first trimester, but you get your sexual preference in the third trimester. Now, imagine a woman who goes on a diet during pregnancy. And in the beginning, she's pumping out a lot of DHT or a synthetic activator of the androgen receptor. And we have male genitalia. But then halfway through, her friend says, oh, these soy smoothies are amazing. Or she's getting heavily sprayed chemical crops that she's eating that now has estrogenic compounds in it during the third trimester. So what ends up happening is you have you have a baby with a penis and testicles, but a sexual preference designed to desire men. And
through higher amounts of things that convert to estrogen.
Yes, yes. And this is not crazy Carl talking. There's actually three Scandinavian, I think they're from Sweden, scientists that about 8 years ago stopped. But they actually did this successfully with rats. They created rats with penises that preferred other male rats by influencing the fetus with different hormonal milieus at different points in gestation.
That's crazy. I've never heard that. Wow, it's crazy.
I know I'm going to get my ass kicked for saying this because people are going to be like, no, that, you know, what are you, crazy?
People have to respect perspective and just understand, like, it's cool to think outside of the box or just, you know, think about things, right?
Well, and if you think science really matters, and if you think that they've reproduced this study three different times, so it's not like they did it once and they did this three times. They successfully created rodents who preferred same sex for copulation.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. And you think that sometimes you think the soy, I mean, we know that soy, I see, you know, almonds is something when guys come over and their estrogen's a little higher than we're supposed to. 100% of the time, they eat. You know, if I ask them, well, how's your almond intake? They're, oh yeah, I eat almonds regularly. They pull almonds out and their estrogen goes down. Right. And so, but even with the soy, it's significantly worse.
But it's not just soy, Adam. You know, we have xenoestrogen compounds. We have xenoandrogen, like phthalates. I did my first show on phthalates 13 years ago. Phthalates are used to take plastics and make them pliable. So saran wrap, for instance, you know, it's flexible. Flexible plastics have phthalates in them that keep the plastic from cracking so it can be flexible. Well, the phthalates have been proven in scientific research numerous times. You know what else has phthalates in it? Air fresheners, you know, Febreze. They use phthalates encapsulate fragrance. They use phthalates to encapsulate fragrance. So if you're using things that have fragrance on your clothes, you're being exposed to phthalates. Well, phthalates have a greater affinity to the androgen receptor, and they stimulate the entire mosaic of the androgen receptor. So now imagine a mom, she's pregnant, and she likes to cook her food in the microwave. Mm-hmm. And she's using lots of saran wrap, and she's using BPA, which is, you know, we got all these chemicals that look like hormones to the body influencing the development of that fetus. And depending on what is strongest at what point in time, you got problems. I mean, we know it does it. We know it does it to aquatic life. We know that it does it to fish and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, what you said, though, it triggered something I was thinking the other day. When you look at these plastic bottles or something, they say BPA free.
Yeah.
Shouldn't everything be BPA free? Or, when I see, you know, like organic, shouldn't, what's if someone just said, if it's not organic, you can't sell it. You know, I mean, and that's where, like, when you think through the thought process of it, like, you got to watch out for yourself.
You know what the funny thing is? And I predicted this on this show. Anybody who's been listening to me for the entire show, when the whole BPA thing came out, I said the FDA gave all the companies that had BPA in their plastic, they gave them 2 years to get the stuff out. I said, whatever they find to replace BPA, it has to perform just like BPA. It's going to have the same hormonal mimicking qualities as BPA. And sure enough, now they're saying BPS is just as bad as BPA. So it's just stupid.
Yeah, there's, you know, there's a lot of science, whether it's sometimes even in the hormone space, where today we think this is it, you know, or this is the worst thing or this is the best thing. But just to that point, like, you don't really know, right? You got to take some time and see and watch and pay attention to the results. Yeah. I think with any study, you can find the outcome you're looking for if that's what you're looking for, right?
That's it.
You may also ignore some of the other things if that's not what you're looking for.
That's it. I want to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about thyroid hormone. Unless you do you have anything else you want to talk about on the
– No, I think it's good. And I think Diego had a good question that's a segue into thyroid.
Yeah, I want to talk about thyroid because that's another one of the hormone mimicking agents that we're finding out in the chemical world now. We know, like for instance, iodine is a halogen. There's lots of halogens that compete with iodine at the thyroid. Bromate that they put in bread If you have a swimming pool and you spend hours every summer day in your swimming pool, chlorine. You're being bombarded by chlorine. So these actually displace iodine in the thyroid. And I'm starting to understand what thyroid function really means, because I've been on thyroid hormone for a long time. And I just took a thyroid hormone holiday for 8 days. And holy crap. I got lots of things going on. So we're going to do this. We're going to take one quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more of the Renew Life RX show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Men and women, you've heard about hormone optimization. Do you feel like it's something you want to look into? RenewLifeRx.com is the place to start. Their doctors can help you with the solutions. RenewLifeRx.com has a simple process for lab work, consultation, and taking a deep dive into where your hormone levels can be improved. Superhuman Radio listeners get 30% off your initial lab work and consultation. Go to RenewLifeRx.com to schedule your no-obligation phone consultation today. Feel younger, get in better shape, and be more productive at RenewLifeRx.com.
For the past 4 months, I've been keeping a secret. Every night at bedtime, I tape my mouth shut with Somnifix strips. That's right, and here's why. Whether you snore or not, at some point in the night, almost all of us start breathing through our mouths. Since I've started using Somnifix strips, I've noticed that I sleep deeper and have seen improvements in my health, fitness, and cognitive function. That's because nose breathing activates the parasympathetic nervous system and improves nitric oxide production. And that leads to improved sleep, immunity, carbon dioxide, oxygen exchange, and much more. Oh, and if you do snore, it'll help you stop snoring. Try Somnifix risk-free. Go to SOMNIFIX.com/SHR. Get a free trial pack of Somnifix strips today.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Are you looking for a better way to absorb the nutrients you know you need? Do what I do and start your day with lipospheric supplements from Livon Labs. Unlike pills and powders, Livon's patented liposomal encapsulation technology transports nutrients like vitamin C, vitamin B, glutathione, acetyl-L-carnitine, and alpha-lipoic acid to where they need to be, your cells. Visit try.liveonlabs.com/Carl to learn why I take these supplements every day to help me perform in the gym and in life. That's try.liveonlabs.com/Carl.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. You know, there was something else Diego said that I didn't really address. And you saw it. I didn't see it. He talks about soy blocking or preventing protein absorption. Excuse me. Soy actually has something in it called antitrypsin. It's a trypsin inhibitor. Trypsin is the actual enzyme that helps you break down and absorb soy protein. Think about that for a second. This is why people who consume large amounts of soy protein get so gassy. Mm-hmm. Because the protein breaks down through fermentation in the lower end of the digestive system, so you get gas from it. So think about that. A trypsin inhibitor in soy inhibits the digestion and absorption of the protein. This comes back to the whole idea that plants create systems to poison the things that prey on them because they can't fight, they can't bite, and they can't run.
So interesting.
So let's talk about thyroid. So I took a vacation from my thyroid hormone, 8 days. And so I sleep with two rings on. I sleep with an Aura ring, but I also sleep with another ring that we're going to do a show on very shortly called the Sleep On ring. The Sleep On ring is actually almost everything except brain waves that happens in a sleep study. Blood oxygen, pulse, movement, sleep apnea. It does everything. It's a little. It's like a size of a pill. You wear it on a ring, but you wear it on the inside of your hand. And I noticed that my REM sleep has gone to hell. My deep sleep is still there, but my REM sleep is horrible, and it's affecting me. I don't feel good in the morning. And I couldn't. I kept looking at my reports. I'm going, why is my REM sleep used to be an hour, hour and a half, and my deep sleep is like an hour, hour and a half. And that's they're supposed to be about 20% of your total sleep time. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what happened? And then I'm thinking, oh, man, I haven't been taking thyroid hormone because I want to see if I could live without it. And I can go to the gym. I can train. But it's affecting my sleep. So I looked. And one of the signs of hypothyroidism is just like frequent awakenings. And I'm waking up in the middle. I'm waking up towards the morning. And that's so what happens is deep sleep usually occurs in the first third of your sleep. And then you have light sleep in the middle, and then you have REM sleep towards the morning. And that's why most people remember their dreams, because you dream during REM sleep. And since it's so close to the morning, you remember them because you wake up maybe an hour or two after the dreaming. If it happened at the beginning of the night, you wouldn't remember it in the morning. And some people do have REM sleep in the middle at the beginning of the night, and they have trouble remembering their dreams. But anyway, sleep fascinates me, and I've done such a deep dive into it over
the years. It's so important.
So, yeah, so I noticed my REM sleep has gone to hell. And then it dawned on me. So I started looking, and sure enough, people who are hypothyroid, they have horrible sleep, and they usually have frequent awakenings, and they usually have frequent awakenings closer to the morning. And that's why I'm not getting the REM sleep, because I'm not in REM. I'm actually closer to being awake. So I asked you, does Renew Life RX, do you guys prescribe thyroid hormone? And you said we do in some cases, but you don't do it a lot because you feel like it's one of the overprescribed things. Talk about that first.
Right. Yeah, so we do. It's something we address. It's something. But a lot of times in the hormone space, big picture, that's the first thing that's looked at. And we'll see things and just not automatically think it needs to be corrected. Your TSH might be a little higher, which is fine. Like, are you okay? You have energy? Yes. Any problem losing weight? No. Well, you probably don't have a thyroid issue. And we'll, you know, when we need to, we dive deeper, T3, T4. Oh, great. You know, the levels are good. And a lot of times we see things like with low testosterone, that increasing the testosterone in the patient, their TSH function gets better, like almost every single time. And so things like that we would rather, you know, if the upstream hormone like testosterone can be corrected, and that can change some of these other things, which it typically does, then we'll stop there, right? But, and you know, going into some of the things we've learned about Hashimoto's disease and some of the different stuff, we'll have people come to us too that are on thyroid, just crazy doses of thyroid, and they're totally dependent upon it. We're potentially just a lower dose intervention in the beginning, almost just to kind of get it cranking, could be better. Different people need different thyroid better. Some people, I think it's taking something before bed works best for them. Sometimes it's first thing in the morning. And sometimes we even have folks take a really low dose multiple times a day with meals to have a better thyroid function.
So a lot of doctors say, and I'm going to address, Diego put up some really good observations that I'm going to address here. So a lot of doctors say, take it before bed. Some doctors say take it in the morning on an empty stomach. Very few of them say take it with food. But it makes sense to me to take it with food because it probably is better absorbed.
Well, sometimes the fat, it stimulates, it almost trains the body from a metabolism standpoint that when this is introduced, this is the level that should be there. And you can get the body to do what you want to do better that way sometimes than trying to supplement it, right? It almost creates this environment that's the food's in and this is what happened. When this happens, we need to stimulate this function to metabolize the food and create, you know, keep the metabolism going. And in some cases, though, it's a morning thing. And, you know, like we said, in our take on hormone replacement therapy is not everybody's the same. Some people, whether it's, you know, estrogen related or testosterone related, some people might need to be at 1800. Some people might need to be at 650 to feel great. Like all that stuff is very different on the individual. And what we look at it as just kind of that feedback loop of that communication with the patient. How you feeling? How you doing? Based on what maybe they've done in the past. You know, they're doing this thing with the thyroid. It's not really working. We're like, well, let's try this process. And then maybe that works. But the physician before only will do it the one way because that's the only way they know they're only aware of. So we have a few different methods, whether it's AM or PM or low dose with meals, things like that, that we try and everybody's different with where we see the results.
And as Diego points out, as thyroid function decreases, adrenaline and heart rate increase to make up for the lack of thyroid, but also testosterone decreases.
Yes.
With people who are hypothyroid, they have much lower testosterone. People who are hyperthyroid tend to be hypergonadotropic too. They have really ragingly high testosterone levels. So getting your thyroid straightened out is critical. And there's a lot of ways to do it. I'm assuming that you guys prescribe Armour Thyroid or Nature Thyroid.
Yeah, there's different versions of it. And, you know, and thyroid in general right now, from an availability standpoint, there's a nationwide shortage of thyroid chemical, period, coming into this country, regardless of pharmacy or where at, especially on the compounded stuff, which is where we put, yeah, Armour Thyroid, Nature Thyroid, there's different, like I said, there's different ones we use, and there's sometimes it's, you know, we don't know all the answers, right? You're not, if you know, think you know everything by looking at someone's blood work, you're already wrong, right? And so there's some testing that would do it. It might be Armour that we try. Hey, let's try this in the morning, always low dose, right? Let's see how this works. Does it change things?
Low dose to you? 60 milligrams, one grain, what?
30
half a grain.
Yeah, we go over 60. It's rare that we go over 60. I mean, there's a couple cases, and a lot of times there are people that have already come from another place where they're at, you know, 2-3 grains a day or something. And we believe that it's just too risky, right? Like there's some things, if you have Hashimoto's or things like that, you know, there's a study that we looked into where what people with Hashimoto's disease, it's called LDN, low dose naltrexone.
They're using low dose naltrexone for everything nowadays.
All kinds of for autoimmune because
naltrexone is the duct tape of medicine today. You know how people use duct tape for fix this with it, fix that with it, put my boat back together with duct tape. Well, naltrexone is like used for everything.
Right, and so there's some stuff we looked into with low dose naltrexone for Hashimoto's. We don't prescribe it or do it, but, you know, we're always looking at, like, what's going on out there, where are people seeing success, where are people, as opposed to taking, you know, 190 milligrams of something that is probably smoking your thyroid function permanently to where you have to develop a dependency. You know?
But you see, here's an interesting fact about the thyroid. It's the only ductless gland in the body. So every other gland in your body has a duct that it actually sends this hormone out into the bloodstream, puts it, it's like an on-ramp to the bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
The thyroid doesn't have a duct, so it exudes thyroid hormone, and so the tissue closest to the thyroid is under the greatest influence of the thyroid, the brain, the heart, the ears. When you see people with hypothyroid, they talk about brain fog, ringing in the ears, heart rate changes. As you get further and further away from the thyroid hormone sensitivity goes up because it has to survive on less. And so there's now some evidence that some neuropathies, may actually be linked to hypothyroidism. So the thyroid is a very interesting gland, but there's lots of ways to address it. Now, obviously, frank supplementation of hormone is one way, but HCG. HCG mimics thyroid-stimulating hormone, TSH. When you are on HCG for your testosterone replacement, one of the benefits is it helps support a healthy functioning thyroid while your body is producing less TSH. And there is a link to TSH and aging better. Not thyroid hormone, TSH. Yeah. People don't realize this, but thyroid-stimulating hormone in and of itself actually has an effect on metabolism and organ systems. So when you take HCG, you'll see thyroid function get better and TSH goes down because it actually mimics thyroid-stimulating hormone. Another thing, which is a little riskier, is Googlesterone. Googlesterone was all the rage when I first got into this 20 years ago. It comes from the Google tree. It's called Google Lipid or Googlesterone, and it actually looks like thyroid-stimulating hormone. But the problem with it is, in my humble opinion, is it has been shown to be cytotoxic, which means toxic in a petri dish to cells. And so there are some people out there who say it's not good to take. But I've actually made myself hyperthyroid taking raw Googlesterone that was just standardized for like 3% Google lipids. And it's very powerful, very, very powerful stuff. In fact, a lot of these new thyroid supplements you see hitting the market right now, if you look, they all have Googlesterone in them, all of them.
I've seen a couple good ones out there, even, you know, just through clients that, you know, they're taking an over-the-counter thyroid, then, you know, we see their blood work, just like there's people we see that they got a growth hormone, you know what I mean, and their IGF-1 levels say different. But same thing with the TSH. We've seen some over-the-counter stuff that works really well. What's the long-term part of it? I don't know, you know, but I've seen some stuff that you know, a lot of the certain supplement that's out there that a client that we work with, every single person that's come over that's taking that, their TSH is like perfect. It's very interesting.
So that will come full circle to what we started the show about, right? We talked about cortisol and allergies and stress. And Diego should be our co-host next week too. We'll just get him a mic and get him set up. He says stress increases reverse T3, and what reverse T3 is an inactive form of T3 that has a high affinity to the thyroid hormone receptor and blocks T3 from getting in. So you can have really high levels of T3 and T4, but still present the symptoms of being hypothyroid if your T3 is high. And he's showing that it actually elevates in the case of stress. I'm reading the rest of it. He says it never gets better. It never converts to the form of T3. So it's so common in the population today. But that's a really good point. So here we have stress coming back around. It screws up your allergies, right? And on top of that, it screws up your endocrine system. And it makes perfect sense because think about this from an evolutionary perspective. If you are in a stressful environment, there's no food, animals are hunting you, you can't get good sleep, the weather sucks, there's not enough water, the endocrine system actually says you shouldn't have children because you can't even take care of yourself. So the endocrine system goes, we're just going to shut you down, dude, because really you just need to die. You need to become saber-toothed tiger food and die because you can't survive on your own. You know, this is really what selection pressure is about. We don't like to talk about this today because we want to help everybody and, you know, I mean, back in the day, I would have been eaten because I'm nearsighted. I wouldn't be able to see very far away. I'm food back in the day. Yeah. So, but I mean, it's true. When you are under constant chronic stress, whether it's manufactured or legitimate, your entire endocrine system goes haywire. And it's like a symphony. Once the tubas start playing too loud, well, the piccolo wants to play louder and the piano wants to play louder. And all of a sudden you've got, doesn't sound like music anymore. Just sounds like noise.
Mm-hmm. I think that no, you're right. And that's where, you know, our philosophy in hormone replacement therapy is less is more, right? Let's just see. Let's see what works as opposed to going, oh, we can load you up on this and this and this and this. then you don't know what's working or what's causing the problem, right? But it, beside that, and I think as a society, we kind of do that, like throw the sink at you and hope that's what the issue is, with a lot of the medical prescribing today.
One last thing I want to close on, and that is I get a lot of messages from people saying that they were patients of Dr. John Chrysler, who has passed away now. We actually did. Actually, the show I did about Chrysler got the most visits to the website of any show I've done in the past 6 months.
Wow. Wow.
There's a lot of people love Dr. Chrysler. They really did.
I've spoke to many of his previous clients that have come over.
And that's what I want to say. I want them to say
great things to say about him, too, which is awesome. And you think of like a legacy or some shoes to fill to help, you know, those people that potentially come over. So far, so good. But it sounds like a really great man.
And that's what I wanted to get out there. So people have said to me that they've gotten emails identifying a new clinic that is handling Dr. Chrysler's patients. And that's great. If that's where you want to go, go. But if you think to yourself, you know, I didn't choose that clinic, I'm being sent to that clinic, there are other options. And one of them is the RenewLifeRx.com. You can go and get started, communicate with Adam. They actually have physicians all over the United States that you work with, so you don't have to travel. And then they do telemedicine once they have you set up. And I think you'll find that their approach, and I know this because a lot of people who have signed up with Renew Life, they message me. They're like, this is what they want me to take. How's that look? I'm like, that's very conservative. That's really good. What I've learned about you and your group is that you don't have a cookie cutter approach at all. You don't assume anything that, like, oh no, yeah, well, we're going to give you 250 milligrams to test and an anastrozole 1 milligram twice a week. It all starts from scratch, every single patient. And I think that's a great thing.
Along the line, right? We'll never say, hey, we know it all. We know what we're doing, because everybody's body's different, right? Everybody's path, everybody's story, everybody's environment, lifestyle. So there's things that, you know, in the follow-up labs, we may see like, oh, hey, this is something we need to correct this and this, you know, because our goal is to always find the solution, not just run you through the door, right? Like, and I had to take my son to emergency last night because his neck was at an issue, but I thought of this, the whole their mindset was how fast can they get someone in and out. Thankfully he's good. But in our process is I don't care how long it takes. You know what I mean? How long the call has to be, how often we have to talk, how much tweaking, how often you got to get blood work, whatever it takes to get you to that place of like, finally, right? And rarely are we the first place people start. We're like the fourth or fifth. So there's sometimes some undoing we have to do, or at least we know where to start based on where they came from. And so thank you for mentioning that on there. Yeah, we'd like to work with anybody, especially listeners and people that come through this channel. We've worked with a lot, and we've done a lot of good, I think, for. Even to the point that there's a guy who said he's been trying to, I think it came through you, I don't remember, I think I shared it with you, but he was trying to get pregnant. And his wife for 4 years had no luck. 2 months into working with us, which was not part of our plan or program, him and his wife were pregnant. So I thought that pretty just cool stuff, right? And sometimes it just has to do with listening to the person and trying to align yourself with their goals, not just the blood work that you think that's how everybody should be or where everybody should be.
And there's a different mindset in a clinic that does everybody the same. You have to fit them.
Mm-hmm.
And RenewLifeRx.com, they fit you. They look at, so, you know, there's a lot of businesses out there that they do business this way because they have success with the largest share of the population. But the people on the periphery here and the people on the periphery here, they don't have good experiences. But the companies don't go, what can we do to increase their quality of experience? They go, they're not for us. Let them go away.
Right. And we have a process that we follow so that we can be flexible for everybody. If your process is too wide open, you're going to try to solve the problem one way. But if your process is one way, your opportunity to solve it can be very versatile because you have a specific checks and balances, so to speak, or a specific, you know, a foundation to go from to with the data. And that's what we've always done.
There you go. So that's it. Give Adam a call if you are in search of a clinic, or maybe you're not even in search of a clinic. Maybe you're just thinking about it. You know, you got some things going on. You're wondering if it's related to that.
But just getting your blood work done. We've actually had a ton of fighters come over recently through just some of the channels, people we work with. They're not looking for hormones. They just want to see where they're at, right? These are guys that are heading into, like, some of these guys, some really incredible careers in the fighting space. They're in their 20s. They want to know where they're at today. When they're
Before their bell gets rung 1,000 times.
Yeah, they want to know, like, where am I at when I'm at my prime?
Right.
So that if 10 years from now or 8 years from now, things have changed significantly, we can look at blood work and go, look, dude, this is what's happening. And then try to figure out how to solve it for them, right? And so it's smart that these guys are doing it, because some of the people that we're working with out there, some incredible people that have come on board with our clinic, we want to offer, where can we help, right? That's our thing, and hormones is our foundation. So we want to see if that's where we can help. Maybe we'll advise to go get some allergy testing. Who knows, right? But we don't turn them away. We want to help everybody.
I think you should add that to your offerings. I got to be honest with you.
It's come. Well, I'll tell you soon about the stem cell stuff we're getting into and things like that. And pretty awesome stuff that we're going on to 2019.
Awesome stuff. There you go. So give Adam a call, and thank you for watching Superhuman Radio and the Renew Life RX show today. And we will see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thank you for listening today. Take care, Adam.
Take care. Thanks, Carl. Bye, guys.